Now, today I want to talk about a subject that has been around for a long time. It's been around maybe as long as the earth is, and that's what it's about. How old is the earth? You might say, well, what would you do? Why would you give a sermon on that? Well, there are a number of theories on this, and we ought to ask then, does the Bible have anything to say about it? If so, what does it say? And why does it say it? Well, why it says it, you're going to have to wait for two more weeks. We're only going to cover the what today. We'll cover the why in two more weeks, which is very interesting, which really puts the cap on the subject. And that was the way that Mr. Armstrong himself approached the particular subject as to the age of the earth. Was the original creation of the universe around 6,000 years ago, or was it much earlier? Now, there's quite a large contingent of the Christian church that says not only is man 6,000 years old, but the entire universe is 6,000 years old also. There are various other types of science, well, it's not really sciences, or one might say theories or ideas, about the origins of the universe and of life. There is such the one that is we would have the most contention with would be mechanistic evolution. That is, evolution that took place over the billions of years in which the entire universe came about from whatever it came from, and nobody's able to explain with that particular theory, and then life itself all of a sudden occurred, and then life then evolved to what we have it today. That is a theory, and that is being taught in our schools, interestingly. It's called mechanistic evolution. There is theistic evolution, that is, that there was an evolutionary process in which God himself was behind that particular process, and he caused it all to happen, so we do have a cause, but it was done through evolution. Then you have creation, that is, outright creation, in which it came to be as a result of a creator. Now, amongst the creationists, you have those that say that everything, the entire universe, the stars, sun and moon, everything that's in, everything that ever existed, was created no more than 6,000 years ago. Then you have those that say amongst the creationists that there is, that the universe is far older than that. Now, there are variations in all of this. All have their interesting points, if you've done any reading on it. All have things that seem to be right and true, and some do have some very interesting observations. But they all, of course, cannot be true. But so we ought to ask then, what does the Bible say? Evolution, of course, claims that the universe is billions of years old. Many creationists say it's closer to 6,000 years. The Church of God has long held that the universe is much older than 6,000 years. We've said that for, I would suggest, close to 50 to 70 years or so. We haven't changed on that. We haven't seen a reason to change. We've heard a lot of arguments. They've always come along, but we've not changed our view on that. We still don't change our view on that. And we believe that the universe is much older than 6,000 years. However, we clearly believe in a creation by God. So why do we differ, then, from many creationists regarding the age of the earth? Why would that be? And it would seem like all creationists ought to be together on all of this. Now, I realize that you, especially our youth, I'm glad to see our youth came in. I didn't realize they were not in. Many of our youth today, of course, are encountering all kinds of information, especially not only in high school, in their classes where evolution is taught, or whether intelligent design may now be taught, it still doesn't really nail it down. Do we have the answers? Can we answer the various questions? And do we have a plausible idea? Can we support that idea, especially from the Bible? The many procreation voices themselves include very good arguments for a creation that is no older than 6,000 years. That is true only in part, when you understand what we mean by creation. Then, for example, there is the new $17 million creation museum that has just opened near Cincinnati, Ohio. Everybody knows where Cincinnati is. I don't know. They may take a look at Dallas, Texas to see if they want to move there. That's a joke. There's a new museum, and that was started by a person, that began, of all places, right here in Brisbane, not too far from here. I've been to their little store and picked up their material and read quite a bit of it, and got a number of books as to what they say, and plus books elsewhere also. A lot of it's repetitive, so I will tell you I haven't read everything in every book. I simply have not done that because they tend to say the same thing, and I do like the books. Here's one here, Answers in Genesis, that tend to sum it up, and which is very good at just kind of getting a synopsis of what is being said by the creationists who say that the earth is quite young. There's another one, Unformed and Unfilled, by Weston Fields, which is quite popular and goes to a great deal more in depth into that particular subject. Now, one would sympathize, of course, with their effort to deal with the great enemy, and that is evolution and evolutionary thought, and how evolutionary thought, of course, affects all of us. It affects our lives. It affects society. It affects our culture. It affects ethics. It affects so many things in human behavior. And a lot of it is evolutionary in its origin. Because once you do away with God and you say, well, we evolved and we got to where we are, well, then this, of course, removes the idea that there are absolutes. There is objective truth that one could hold to and say, here's the way that we should live, the way we should always live, according to a certain ethical standard set by someone who has the authority to do so, being an almighty creator God. And since there is an almighty creator God, one would think then that there is a source for objective truth. Mr. Chick spoke about integrity, and either there is a certain standard, there is integrity based upon one who has gone before, his laws, and that we agree with that. Now, if that is not the case, if that is simply not it, well, then you can do whatever you want to do, and of course, once you go down that track, then this opens up some very, very serious problems. Now, I want to get into more of the idea of what happened from the Bible as to why we believe what we do. First, we do not believe in the Big Bang theory. That is not our position for the origin of the universe. Of course, we do not believe in creation via evolution in any way. The Big Bang theory is, frankly, a part of the evolutionary theory. However, some creationists have adopted that also to say, well, that's how God did it. Well, you don't know how God did that because there was, in the Big Bang theory, while they say there was a certain moment in which everything came into being, there was a very, very long process in which things then developed over billions of years. Well, we're not quite into that. In fact, we do not believe in, let's say, the processes of evolution, either stemming from a Big Bang or whatever. We're simply not into that. We believe we are creationists. First, last, and always, we are creationists. I want to make that very plain, because whenever we have taken the position that the earth may be millions or billions of years old, people say, well, you're siding with evolution, and nothing can be further from the truth. I want to refute that completely and totally. We believe in creation. We believe in creation by a creator. That is what we believe in. We do not believe, nor do we intend to, and I think we've made it extremely clear and plain that we do not hold to evolution in any way. We do have to look to God's Word as the first and foremost authority on the subject of creation, and we take the biblical accounts literally. Now, the young earth creationism refers to the belief held by many creationists that the earth must be only 6,000 years old, based on the creation account in Genesis. The position that the earth is far older than 6,000 years old is called the old earth or ancient earth position. And there are both, as I said before, evolutionist and creationist who maintain this position. Now, the crux of the young earth and the old earth argument from Scripture centers on the first two chapters of Genesis. You need to take a look at not only the words that are used, but you need to take a look at the structure of what it actually says. And you also understand what is not being said, too, because there are certain assumptions that are made as to what it says. Now, so this sermon is not intended to cover every detail of the creation account in chapters 1 and 2. Matter of fact, we'll hardly ever get into chapter 2, but only those parts that pertain to the question of the age of the earth, of the universe. Now, it makes a statement here that in the beginning, chapter 1 and verse 1, that's where we ought to begin. One begins at the beginning. And that's where we begin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the young earth position assumes the beginning referred to here to be equivalent with the beginning of the era of mankind, introduced later on in the chapter. However, taken at face value, verse 1 doesn't indicate when the initial creation of the heavens and the earth occurred. And it doesn't limit the time frame to 6,000 years ago. Now, to the fact that everything is included in the same chapter, let me just say that when we say 6,000 years, that is done as a result of the study of chronology from the time of the first man. Adam lived to 936 years. You can do the math. We did this. I remember doing that years ago as a teenager. My dad worked through it. He had a big chart, and we figured out, okay, here's how many years. It can be done with a small margin of error. And then there are, you can determine pretty much how old it is. That's why I say approximately 6,000 years. Now, nobody knows exactly how old it is, but we say that's approximately what it is. However, the beginning, whenever that was, God created, this very important thing to understand here, both heavens and the earth. Now, the word heavens is plural in the New King James. I don't think you'll find that in the Old King James, I could be mistaken, but a number of places it speaks of heavens as simply heaven in the singular, referring to what one would see if you were standing on earth and you were looking up, which would include the sky, the atmosphere, and including also the stars. And that would be the heaven, or the heavens, as one might wish to say. And so it would include the luminous body of the stars, including our sun. But it could also refer and include, or only include, the expanse above the earth. It could include all of that. It depends on the context in which it's used. The word is the same. Shamayim, Shamayim. Don't ask me to spell that in Hebrew. I can't. But the same word is used elsewhere and indicates the celestial and planetary bodies of space. Now, the young earth view holds that Genesis 1, verses 3 through 31, describe the very beginning of the heavens and the earth. Now, here's what they say, and that is essentially this, that the earth was created then on the first day. Now, you need to take a good look at this, because the structure of the chapter doesn't allow that. Now, to simply say that the earth was created on the first day, and it's said in all the books that that's how it has to be. Now, if you say that this is the very beginning of the creation of everything 6,000 years ago, naturally you would have to say that, wouldn't you? Of course you would. That does not mean that that is necessarily so if you take a look at the structure. Very simply, beginning in verse 3, we'll come back to the first two verses in a moment, especially verse 2. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So we have what is occurring on the first day, and then the five subsequent days with the same statement. Then God said. So we have some things happening here, and so the structure is saying, here is what is taking place on the first day. Now, back in Sunday school, I can remember going through the various days of creation, and what was created on the first day was light. I don't know that they got so far as to even deal with the idea of the earth, simply because it doesn't say that. It does not include that in verse 3. There's a lot that can be said about this, but let me put it this way, that you have something occurring here, and we ought to take a good look as to what is actually taking place. He said, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." What you have then is a number of things that are being created and done to form a creation in 6 days. And they are all specifically mentioned, each on those 6 days. And one would think then that why is there no account of the earth being formed on any of those 6 days? That should be a question. In fact, I have this here in Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, if you want a very very good surprise. You can read the quite lengthy discussion on Genesis chapter 1. Very well respected work. And let me just say, people tend to think that this is limited to a few people, and they can tend to name who they are, anywhere from Schofield to a few others here, I thought I had it here somewhere, which I don't want to really get into, who say, okay, here are people who then believed in the old earth idea, and this is where Mr. Armstrong got it from. Well, I don't know. I have no evidence of that one way or the other, and I wouldn't claim that. I would hope that he was not the first one to come up with it. If he did, I think we would have a problem, don't you? I don't think there is anything that he was the first one to come up with anything. Someone, if it is true and if it is there, hopefully someone did come up with it before then, or it was at least understood. And so, I'm not interested in going back and delving into who may have come up with this idea first, as we have some record. We just don't have all of that information, and there have been those who have been cited, and even that has been contended by the Young Earth people. So, however, the commentary has this to say, that we have the earth is abruptly introduced into the narrative without any account of its creation. They simply tend to make that statement. Why would that be? When you have everything else being introduced as a part of the creation, then, that lives on the earth, being introduced on a particular day on which it was created, but not the earth. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, so we have here the first day, let there be light. Now, but we have then the existence, according to the narrative, prior to the days. If we read it, then he said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So now we have a day. What do you need for a day? I think our knowledge of it, and we ought to use our knowledge of what it would require to have a day. First of all, you would have to have an earth. You would have to have a source of light. You would have to have a turning earth to have a day. Yes or no? Absolutely. You have light then getting to the surface. You would have to have all of those before you would have a day. Very important to understand that this is written from the point of view of someone who is on the earth. That's the way it is written. They are viewing, they are seeing what is taking place here, and it is all occurring around them, and this is now happening. And when this has been written for us, is written from that point of view. A number of people say that's the way it was done. Nobody seems to necessarily dispute that, which helps us to understand it. So we have then the presumption of an earth prior to the first day. In the beginning, not only that, you have heaven prior to the first day. Then it goes on to discuss the earth was without form. So we have an earth. No question about it, you have an earth. It's here. You have to acknowledge that. It's there. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So now we have a description of something, the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we have an earth, we have the deep. While it doesn't say exactly what it is, one suspects that it has to do with waters, because it goes on to say in the next spirit, and then you have the Spirit of God hovering over. Some people say it's maybe brooding over. I've heard it even said he was grieving over, if you want to advance the idea that there was something that took place over which he was somewhat disturbed as happening. But what you have here then is the earth. You have the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the earth. And now you have something beginning to happen. And that is, it is happening where the earth is. That you begin to have, first of all, light, and then other things occur. That is, land, and then you have plants, then you have animals, and you can read the rest of the day, the rest of it, and by the way, I won't be reading all of that. The Spirit of God, let's see, Psalm, I hope I have that particular Psalm, let me just quote them for you, Psalm 33, verse 9, and Psalm 148, verse 5. He commanded, or he spoke, and it was done. Here we have how creation took place. In Psalm 104, we have the reference then. Verse 30, you send forth your spirit, and they are created. So now we have a creation by the sending forth of the Spirit, which of course concurs with what we have always understood that Spirit is, and that is the power of God to do whatever He wants to do wherever He wants to do it. That is, it is an extension of Himself, and so we have the Spirit of God as He sent forth His Spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. We have quoted this with reference to the Spirit and the creation, and then, of course, also the renewal, which is a word that talks about, rather than a completely new, a totally new creation, that we have something that is now renewed or redone or refurbished, as it seems to indicate there, also called a creation. Now, this is not a problem for God to have done it this way. If you assume that this all of the creation has to take place within that second day, seventh day period, I think you're just putting it all in a time frame that doesn't have to be. This is not the only creation. There was a creation at the beginning, the heavens and the earth. Now we have a six-day creation that is about to take place. And the creation that you and I know about. Those two are not the only creations. There is going to be yet other creations. Or one might say a creation singular, or it could be plural. Depends how you wish to interpret Isaiah 65, verse 17, where he says, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. Now, there's a new heavens, so there's going to be another creation. So you don't have to say, this is it, and only it. It simply doesn't have to be. Now in Exodus chapter, the young earth people do this. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 11, there's also a similar verse in Exodus 31. For it says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now here is the one evidence, frankly, that the young earth people use. And to show that this is it. It has to be done all in this 6 days. Now, people have asked me this, and I've said, now, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible is absolutely true? I believe the Bible is absolutely true. Do you believe the Bible contradicts itself? No, sir, I don't believe the Bible contradicts itself. Then it says here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, very clearly, that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. I said, you believe that? Yes, sir, I absolutely believe that. I said, then tell me then, which day was the earth created? Let's let that sink in just a bit. Which day was the earth created? If it says that. Now, the Bible can't contradict itself. Now, if you say the first day, I think you're going to go against the structure that we just talked about in Genesis, the first chapter. Now we begin to see the difficulty in saying everything has to fit in the creation as it begins with the third verse of chapter 1 of Genesis. Now, there is a way of understanding this, and hopefully we may have some time to get back into Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, because Mr. Armstrong considered that very clearly as to how that was to be understood and took it into consideration. Now, if we go back then to Genesis, the first chapter, the earth, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Naturally, that's what it was. The earth in existence at some point was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, some say this is simply a progression of how God then created it to start with, and now he is progressing to where it's first without form and void, and there is darkness, and he is just simply continuing on with the other part of the creation. Well, first of all, we haven't even gotten to the first day. You can't get to the first day. First day is light, and the first day is a day. A day means there is a presumption of an earth that is now being acted upon to create a day. Otherwise, you don't have a day. So you then have God doing something over an earth with waters. Why would that be so? People say, well, that's just quite natural for him to do it that way. Well, you don't know that. That's not a progression. It doesn't have to be a progression of the way God created. In fact, we do have some statements, if you understand the words, that have a strong indication that that's not the way it was created. Now, there is a lot of contention on a few of these points, and the young earth people tend to argue about some of the words. Now, we feel we stand on pretty good ground on the words. So do they. They also feel they stand on pretty good grounds in terms of paleontology and geology. But so do the preponderance of evolutionists. Okay. They also feel they stand on pretty good grounds theologically. But I can show you their theology is in total contradiction with which all of you would never agree in 1,000 years. I could show that to you. I could show that to you right here in this book. And I will 2 weeks from today. Because that gets into the theology of it. But in their attempt to explain it, they completely miss the point. Now, there's a number of other aspects of theology that's very interesting. So, to say, then, that they would have a better argument than we would, I would not agree with that. I think we could hold our own based upon simply what experts themselves say. Now, the earth was. Now, a lot of argument about that word. We have contended that it should be became. The word is haya, H-A-Y-A-H, and it can also be translated as became. Not always, but it can be. Now, this verb never has the meaning of being static, simply is to be. Now, you might say it was, and you would be correct in saying that it was, but the fact that it was does not obviate the fact that it came to be where it is. So therefore, it became. The word was and became is very similar. Now, I hope you don't mind me getting a little bogged down on it, because the young earth people get very vociferous over this, and they shout and scream and underline their words and make them in bold caps. And I'm sorry, they shouldn't intimidate you on this, because there are other places where the word was, very similar usage, is also used and became with the same, prepositions that are following. One may look at Genesis 3:20, for instance, where it says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. What does that mean? Would that mean she became? Well, I would suggest it did, because I don't think she was always in that particular state, meaning to be, and that's what she was permanently. I don't think she would like that. She was simply, this is what she became. Chapter 4, verse 20, same word, same construction of the Hebrew. And Adah bore Jubal, and he was the father of those who dwelled in tents. And he was the father of all those who dwell in tents. Now, is the word was correct? Well, yes. Of course, the word was is fine. But he had to get there first. So if he had to get there, he had to become that. Now, we simply use the same reasoning here, because it came to be this way. Now, how did it come to be this way? Now, here's a question. How did it get to be? Was this a part of the process of God's creation, or was it some other process? Now, it's very interesting. It uses the word, it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. First of all, if you know God, would he create in that way? Let's just say maybe he could. But would he? The whole idea of the without form and void, we have referred to the fact that these are Hebrew words. You've heard the words before. Tohu and bohu simply means, this is quite well accepted, without form and void. Their root meanings, to lie waste, desolation, especially on the surface, a worthless thing, nothing, vain, vanity, waste, wilderness. Brown, Driver, Briggs, Hebrew definitions, tohu, formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, formlessness, and so on. Now, we do have usages of this word, also bohu, emptiness, void, waste, Brown, Driver, Briggs, well-respected work. So this is how it's used. Do we have a way that we can say, is there some way that this was used in this way? Of course it was. Isaiah 34, verse 11 shows it is used in this way. Some unidentified period, we have the earth, or let's say something being described here as in confusion. I Isaiah 34, verse 11. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it, and the owl and the raven shall dwell in it, for he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. All right. Isaiah 45, 18 speaks of God who formed the earth and made it. So when he formed it, he made it, who did not create it in vain. Now, his specific was he didn't do it. Now, there's all kinds of arguments about this word. I think we stand on pretty good ground here as how it's used and specifically what it says. He didn't do it this way. This is simple. He just didn't do it this way. And so the verse says, God did not create the earth tohu. Now, we use this as support. This is not the main issue here. There's Jeremiah 4:23. It was without form and void, and meaning the heavens. They had no light and so on. It's used, once again, in a very similar way. What do we have here? We have God. He's look upon the earth in this particular state. Now he is about to do something. Doesn't say how it got that way. It is an assumption to say that it got that way because that's the way God did it. That's an assumption. It does not say that. Now, we have then light. I need to move on rather quickly here because we can. There are other things taking place here that if the heavens, the heaven, meaning the celestial bodies, were created in the beginning, the young earth people say that here we have the earth being created on the fourth, I'm sorry, the sun and the stars being created on the fourth day. You find that in verses 14 through 18, where it says, Then God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser night to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So it's assumed then by simply reading that it is on the fourth day, beginning verse 14, incidentally, you may want to mark it in your margin. You may already have the days delineated. That is the fourth day, where it speaks of the lights in the firmament of heaven, and God made two great lights. And so we have to ask the question then, where does the light come from on the first day? If it's on the fourth day that here the sun is made, and even if at the beginning he created the heaven and the earth. So why do we have this stated here in this way? Well, you have something beginning to take place here that is, I think, very reasonably explained. First of all, these lights were set in the heavens, or in some places, one might say, appointed. The word create, there are two words for the word create. There is bara and there is asa. Now, those are anglicized pronunciations of the two Hebrew words. One tense, like bara, used in the first verse, tends to indicate an absolute creation by God. The word Asa is quite a broad word. And it's the word made that is used. Or it could also be an outright creation, but you wouldn't know simply by the fact that the word is used. It could be used in any number of ways. It is very similar to the word made, however, in English. Perhaps that's maybe one of the closest words that we could use. If you told me your wife made the bed, what would you mean by that? Would you mean that she went out and cut the logs, sawed them up, nailed them together, and made the bed? Would you mean that? No, I don't think you mean that. Would you even go further than that? She actually planted the trees and grew the wood. Did she create the wood? Well, of course, you'd know she wouldn't. That's not what she does. She simply made the bed. She just went over it and made it. And it looks a lot better than it was when you were sleeping in it. That's what we mean by made. You might say, my wife made a cake. What would that mean? Well, she mixed all the ingredients together and she did what she had to do to form and then bake a cake. Out it came, and she then fashioned it and did whatever she needed to, and we had a cake. So it was made. It does not mean she went out and got the wheat, ground it, or even grew it. You know, got the eggs from the chickens, or even created the chickens to start with, to lay the eggs, to make the meat, to make the cake. I think you understand the point here. It rather explains it, actually, that what we have then is it's a statement. He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars also. These are the luminaries of the universe. And one looks at them to determine times, seasons, beginning of years, direction, and light. Now, the idea is then that this was all done on the fourth day. We say no. We say that it was already in existence, and so therefore, where did the light come from in verse 3 when he said, let there be light? The young earth people say it could just be emitted from any source. One theory is that it came from God himself. First of all, God's invisible. Yeah? Any of you see God? Anybody ever see a light from God? No. The light from God that it's spoken of, as opposed to darkness in the Bible, has the preponderance of the understanding of light that is truth, as opposed to darkness, which is error. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, in him is light. What light? What kind of light? Not a shining. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he shined the light out of darkness, where? Into our hearts. We have that light in that sense. Once again, to have a day, you have to have a source of light, the sun, which we see already, which was in existence. We have in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, then movements now put in place, or that is such a clarity then that one sees what is now put in such an order that it operates in a way that you can tell time with. And seasons come and go as a result of those movements. On the first day, you had to have the earth spinning. By the fourth day, if you're going to have seasons, times, days and years, you have to have the earth revolving around the sun and the moon revolving around the earth. This is precisely what we're talking about here. A greater light and a lesser light now are so ordered in which the person on the earth is able to understand time according to the movements of these bodies and the stars also. Because you can determine where the directions are from the stars. They do that. In the northern hemisphere, there's a North Star, Polaris. And you can always guide and direct yourself in that way. There is light from them, and that is the light of the universe, and there is light that comes from the stars. And we benefit from that, though we may not see it completely. We do benefit from that also, as well as the light from the sun. These are pre-existent. What we have here, then, is what God is doing by way of creating the earth as you and I know it today with man. Now, this is why we have the Sabbath, simply because man was created in this way. We do not believe in the existence of man prior to Adam. We do take issue with the radiocarbon dating, people say, or any other kind of dating methods that act upon fossils that show that man was older than 6,000 years old. Now, they may find some things that are older than that, but we're not saying it's man. We would never agree it's man. We do not agree that it would be man-like things. The likeness of man was created 6,000 years ago. I'm sorry. I didn't say that correctly. The likeness of God in the form of man was created 6,000 years ago, and whatever else that may have occurred prior to that was certainly not man nor a likeness. You do have animals that may appear to have certain features. I wouldn't argue that particular point. But we're not saying man, made in the likeness of God, existed before Adam. Because the Bible clearly says that here is when God made man in his image. Now, this is not simply a spiritual matter or a mental issue. This is the actual image. That's what we believe, incidentally. And we support this with other scriptures in the Bible that give various details of God having the same features as a man. And we take that to be literal, incidentally. I need to move on. I have several things here more to say. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Let me cover that. The Sabbath was God did or created in 6 days specifically because that is when he was putting man and he was setting the tone for man. So therefore, this creation was done in 6 days, rested on the Sabbath for man. Anything prior to that would not require a rest. God and Christ have been working since then. There's nothing to say they were not working before then. But here is a creation that is for man. Now, there are a number of other points that we could cover on that, but the word, when God created the earth in the heavens, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, Mr. Armstrong understood it this way, and you can go back to the Mystery of the Ages and you can read it there, where he says that the heavens were looked upon or seen or understood to be the firmament, as translated by both Moffat and Fenton, taking from the point of view of the earth and what you see in the earth. Now you have a creation to which it all appears, the light comes in, and this is what you see. And in those days, that is what he created. The earth was also created, if you understand, not the earth out of nothing, but the earth from a state of being without form and void. And that is naturally what you would quote in Exodus chapter 20 for the creation as a reason to observe the seventh day. And which is, of course, of what we do. Now, there is overwhelming evidence in the Bible that the earth and the universe is far older than the 6,000-year history of the human race. As I said to you before, we would not agree that the human race exists prior to 6,000 years. And there is a preponderance of physical evidence that agrees with this position. Now, the young Earth proponents do raise a number of arguments through science to argue with this evidence. Now, we're not going to get into this evidence. There are a lot of people out here who struggle with that particular evidence and try to prove it one way or the other. And as the young Earth people say, we have so many scientists who believe in creation, but what they really mean, we believe in a total and complete creation beginning 6,000 years ago, and that's the position they have to take simply because it's simply assumed. And to do so for any kind of creation prior to that, one thinks you have to believe in evolution, and you don't. Now, there is no need to go through the many examples of physical evidence that harmonize with the old earth, nor to debate with the evidence that is put forth, and I've read a lot of the evidence. And I'm not saying one's conclusive over the other. I wouldn't say that. There is only one evidence that I would point to that you may be interested in, if you will permit me, on this, and that has to do with the light from distant stars. Now, what you see a number of things here. I hope you will see a number of things. And now, what we have, I think, first up, is something that is very instructive, and let me just say this. You've heard of the Hubble telescope that produces pictures of galaxies that are millions, indeed billions, of light years away. Now, the young Earth people say God created the universe with the light already having traveled. That's the theory. Now, maybe you didn't know that, but I think I should tell you that is what the theory is. Now, what you're being asked to believe is a number of things here, suppositions that you don't know. But that is what you're asked to believe. So if you do have a young Earth, then all of that light simply has to travel because, assuming light is going to travel at the same speed, this is what you're going to have. Now, there is some conjecture that light travels at a different speed in the distant past, or light travels at a different speed in space. Once again, conjecture. All conjecture. You don't prove this. And so you can't really deal with something here on that. You've got to deal with what you know. Now, while we may be getting pictures, yes, here's the one here, the Crab Nebula. This is a supernova remnant of glowing gases and plasma expanding from a cataclysmic explosion of a star 15 times more massive than our own sun. This supernova explosion was observed and reported by Chinese astronomers in 1054. That is the Southern Crab Nebula, which is similar. I don't have a date on that. But here we have, can you just hang on to that just for a second, David, if you don't mind? There's a little bit of information here I want to propose. I say I do, because I've got about, I don't know how many pages here. Oh, yes. Now, I think you understand that if these stars were created just 6,000 years ago, we wouldn't see them because their light wouldn't have made it to the Earth for many more thousands of years, or even millions of years from now. But they are viewing galaxies billions of light years from the Earth. Now, they say, of course, as I said before, God created it where the light is already there. All right, let's say that that's so. You cannot explain the fact that the Hubble telescope is picking up explosions of stars within our own Milky Way. Our own Milky Way is 75 what? Million or thousand light years across? Million light years across. That's only our galaxy. Okay, this is not talking about galaxies out there beyond that. So now we have something within our own Milky Way, an explosion. Then that is only now being seen. There are other explosions that are now only being seen, which means it did take a while for that light to travel to get to us, something that took place then approximately 7,000 years ago. 1,000 years before Adam and Eve was created according to the chronology. We do have a little bit of a problem with the fact that we are now seeing things that are happening, currently happening. They're happening. We see them as they're happening now to us. They're reaching us now, but they started back then. Now, the only thing you're going to have to say is that it occurred, or that light somehow travels at a different speed and so on, but you have to come up with a number of different theories to say that. Go ahead, Dave, I'm sorry. The rest. Now, here is a picture of an erupting star, and these are some very interesting pictures. Now, once again, it's happening, or it happened some time ago, but we are now only seeing it. There is, and here is pictures of a star exploding and expanding in progression. It is actually erupting as the pictures were taken. So I think you pretty much get the point on that. Now, here's the point we're making, and David has other pictures of erupting stars at varying distances from the Earth. Now, we believe that the evidence, however, is in Scripture, that God created the universe and the Earth long before He created Adam and Eve. At the same time, we do not believe that any of the creation came into existence by the process of evolution. We believe God literally created all things, not by an evolutionary process, but through Jesus Christ, as it says, all things were created through Him and for Him. However, nowhere in God's revealed word does He limit the beginning of His physical creation to a mere 6,000 years ago. Now, let me conclude with one point here. And if you can just go ahead with the pictures, if you want to go ahead and let them run. We need to ask the question, is this important? You might by now think, well, I want to believe that it was done 6,000 years ago, and I take it literally without any trying to understand what the Bible might say. You can do that if you wish. I'm going to ask the question and answer it next time, is it important? And I want to tell you it is important. Because to believe in a young earth theory and everything that goes along with it, especially the theology that you have to agree with the young earth theory, you are going to contradict yourself in terms of some very major and important beliefs that you say you hold, and you cannot hold both at the same time. And we'll talk about that next time, because it has to do with understanding why God did what he did. And that's why I said next time we're going to deal with the why. And this, I would think, clinches it if you don't feel that the evidence that I gave you is correct. Then we're going to